The demons died by the hundreds under the three infernal devices, and still they came swarming out of the darkness. The army came to the bank of the moat, and there made it stand as best it could. The castle drawbridge was raised and would not be lowered until the king called the retreat. Of the 550 men and women who had followed King John out of the castle, less than 100 now remained. The lancers were gone, pulled down and slaughtered in the first few minutes. Most of the farmers and traders and townspeople were dead, along with half the guards and men-at-arms. The survivors now huddled together in a single defiant knot at the edge of the frozen moat and swung their crimson blades with savage desperation. The demons were everywhere, filling the night, and there were always more to replace those who died. Rupert swayed tiredly in his saddle and almost fell. He caught himself just in time and took a firmer hold on the reins. His muscles ached fiercely, and his head was swimming with fatigue, but still he continued to fight. At first, he thought of his duty, and then of survival. But finally, he carried on fighting simply because he was damned if he'd give in to the darkness. He'd been beaten many times before, and he'd never once given in, and he wasn't about to start now. He could see the champion to his left, standing at the head of the army and swinging his massive war axe like a toy. There was no sign of his war charger, and his armor was rent and bloodied. But the swarming demons broke about him like the pounding surf on a rocky shore, unable to wear him down. Rupert supposed he ought to find the sight inspiring, but somehow he was just too damn tired to care.
What in the world?
The ice covering the moat suddenly exploded as the moat monster roared up out of the freezing waters. 40 feet long from head to tail, its long, scaly body bulged with thick cables of muscle. The earth of the moat's bank seemed to sink a little under the monster's immense weight. Its foot-long claws and rending fangs ripped through the demons in a flurry of blood and gore.
So that's what the moat monster looks like. Well, he's certainly impressive.
The demon grabbed at Rupert's buckler as it fell from his sword, and Rupert couldn't shake him off.
Damn it!
He had to unbuckle his shield to get the thing off. In the moment before he could pick it up again, a monster with steaming blood-red eyes came flying out of the shadows. The creature clung to his chainmail vest with a dozen legs and snapped at his unprotected neck. Rupert brought up his left arm to guard his throat. He felt an incredible shock to his arm as the demon bit clean through to the bone. Rupert tried to reach the creature with his sword, but it clung too closely to his chest, its jaws locked on his arm. Other demons were quick to spot his vulnerability and came racing toward him out of the night. Rupert tried again to lift his sword, but all he could think of was the awful tearing pain in his left arm. Then the champion's axe flashed, and the demon's grip relented as it died.
Champion! Thank! Where'd he go?
The press of the fighting had already carried the champion away. For a moment, Rupert found himself in a quiet part of the battle, and he took advantage of the lull to check his injured arm. White shreds of splintered bone showed clearly in the wound, but he could still move his fingers.
Not having much luck with this arm.
He slipped his left arm under his sword belt.
Not much of a sling, but it'll have to do. This'll just be another healing job for the High Warlock.
The thought reminded him of the way the supporting magic had suddenly stopped, and he turned to look back at Forest Castle. The battlements were brightly lit with dozens of flaring torches, but there was no sign of any of the magicians.
Damn you, Warlock! We put our faith in you! All right, Breeze. Let's get back to the fight.
Step by step, Rupert made it back to the rest of the army. There were as many demons as ever, but the press of battle was slowly easing as the piled-up bodies of the dead and the dying now formed a high barricade between the army and its attackers. Rupert looked vaguely around him, searching for familiar faces among the survivors, and frowned as he realized he couldn't see Julia anymore. He sat up straight in the saddle, and then froze as he spotted Julia standing alone with her back to a tree, surrounded by demons, a good dozen yards outside the barricade.
There! Breeze! We have to save her!
As the unicorn collapsed, Rupert was thrown from the saddle, but recovered quickly. He looked to Breeze and swallowed sickly as he saw the blood running thickly down the unicorn's heaving sides.
Breeze! Please, are you okay?
Ah, what the hell do you think you're doing? Get back in the saddle before the demons get you. Oh,
why didn't you tell me that you were hurt?
Oh, we're all hurt, Rupert.
You're in no condition to carry me any further. Move back to the edge of the moat and get yourself across the drawbridge the moment it's lowered. That shouldn't be long now.
No, forget it.
Breeze.
No, I'm not leaving you.
I'm giving you an order.
Stop your order. You afraid me, remember?
Breeze, for once in your life, will you please do as I ask? I've got to go and help Julia. She needs me. We'll both join you the moment my father calls the retreat, I promise. Now move yourself while you've still got the strength.
Oh, I hate it when you're right.
The unicorn stood up and started toward the rear of the embattled army, his head hanging limply down. Rupert watched him just long enough to be sure he'd get there all right, and then turned and headed for the barricade. He had to get to Julia. Harold and King John fought back to back, the two infernal devices keeping the demons at bay. Blood dripped steadily from their torn armor, not all of it demon blood. Rupert waited a moment to be sure their attention was fully on the demons, and then pulled himself up to the barricade. He didn't think his father would try to stop him, but he couldn't take the risk. The piled-up bodies shifted and stirred under his weight, and Rupert found a secure spot hidden in the shadows. Most of the demons seemed to be concentrating on breaking through the barrier rather than looking for people coming out over it. Soon, there was another lull in the fighting in his area, and Rupert made his move.
Here! I'm coming, Julia!
Julia kept her back pressed against the rotting tree and swung Wolfsbane back and forth before her in wide, killing arcs. Decaying bodies lay piled around her, but still the demons came, leaping and clawing. Julia hacked viciously at the foul, grinning creatures before her, knowing it was only a matter of time before she grew too tired or too slow and they would drag her down. She hoped it would be a quick death, but feared it wouldn't. A demon ducked under the sword and lunged for her throat.
No!
A backhand slash cut the creature in two, but left Julia's defenses wide open. The demon surged forward. Demons scattered as Rupert fought his way through them to stand at Julia's side. The demons suddenly retreated into the shadows, leaving Rupert and Julia standing alone before the rotting tree. They slowly lowered their swords and stared warily about them. The darkness still seethed with misshapen life, but the demons seemed to be falling back into the dark wood. The army watched suspiciously from behind its barricade and made no move to pursue them.
It's not like the demons to give in that easily. They're up to something. Have to be.
Seems likely.
Julia, you okay?
Yeah, I'm just exhausted. Feels like I've been fighting for days. How can you even stand?
To be honest, I don't know. That feels good.
The little pleasures in life, right?
Right.
Rupert glanced dubiously at Wolfsbane.
That thing any good as a sword?
I've known worse.
Rupert stared glumly at the dead bodies lying heaped around them, purulent with decay. He looked sideways at Julia and raised a sardonic eyebrow.
You know, there has to be an easier way to make a living.
They grinned at each other, too tired to laugh. Rupert looked closely at Julia's wounds and frowned.
You're hurt.
So are you. But you still managed to save my life.
You'd have done the same for me.
How bad is that arm?
Bad enough. How are you feeling?
I felt better.
Come here.
Rupert put his good arm around her shoulders, and she leaned against his chest. They sat in silence a while, easing their hurts by sharing them. Rupert knew he should be getting Julia back to the rest of the army while the demons were still quiet, but he hadn't the strength.
If nothing else, I'll have a few more interesting scars to add to my collection.
I think I've gotten enough for the both of us.
Oh, Rupert, this battle isn't going very well, is it?
It's been a bloody fiasco. Most of us are dead or dying. The High Warlock was drinking wine by the bottle beforehand, and now his magic's gone.
I was wondering what happened there.
What happened is he proved himself to be everything people have said about him. A coward and a drunk. I can't believe we put our trust in him.
Rupert.
But that still doesn't explain why the wizards weren't joining in. I look back and the castle was silent. They were supposed to provide support and nothing.
Rupert.
And without his magic to back us up, We were nothing more than sitting targets. It's a wonder any of us have survived.
Rupert?
Yes?
Can you hear something?
What?
There's something out there, Rupert. Something big. And it's coming this way.
Rupert looked out into the night.
I think I see something. Hold up.
They both stood up, leaning on their respective swords for support. Deep in the night, a soft glow was forming, the same vile shade as the full moon overhead. The blue glow came slowly out of the dark wood, rising and falling and shifting constantly from one vague shape to another. Demons stirred uneasily in the shadows and shrank back into the darkness.
What the hell's out there? What could be so bad that even the demons are afraid of it?
Rupert, didn't you fight something on the way to the High Warlock?
Back in the Coppertown Pit. It was like a worm, but could fill whatever shape it needed. It seeped through the rubble and filled entire mineshafts. It spoke in a human's voice, but there was nothing human about it. I tried using the rainbow sword, but nothing happened. God help us all if that thing is out there.
He moved forward a little to put himself between Julia and whatever was coming out of the darkness. The army watched, unmoving, from behind its grisly barricade.
Oh, no.
What?
I've heard that sound before. It was coming after us when we were fighting our way to the castle. It's been waiting for us this whole time.
Rupert shot a quick glance at the army's barricade, but quickly decided against making a run for it. Whatever was coming wasn't going to be stopped by a simple barricade.
Was that?
Yes. It's coming towards us.
You smell that? It smells like...
It smells like death, and it's getting closer.
The ever-present stench of decay and corruption grew worse as the shapeless blue glow drifted nearer, and the giant footsteps jarred the earth like hammer blows. The hovering blue light finally came to a halt some 20 yards short of the army, and the footsteps stopped with it. The light pulsed once, outlining the rotting trees with its stark brilliance, and then faded away, revealing the horror it had hidden. It had obviously been dead for some time, but it moved and was aware. Its dull white flesh was dry and mummified, eaten away in places to reveal the discolored bones beneath. It stood nearly 50 feet tall, its squat, wedge-shaped head half hidden in the shadows. Its wide slash of a mouth was filled with huge, serrated teeth, and balefire burned where its eyes should have been. It had two arms and two legs, and it stood erect, but there was nothing in the least human about it. A long, barbed tail hung from it, leaving a trail of smashed trees and crushed demons for 100 yards. It was dead, and it was aware. It had lain in the ground for years beyond counting, but something had called it up and sent it out to kill again.
The swords! The infernal devices! They're our only hope!
King John scrambled up and over the barricade with Harold close behind him. The army made as though to follow, but the king waved them back.
We're here, Father.
Glad to see you're both okay. Well, mostly, anyway.
We'll talk later. What's the plan?
The plan is we kill this thing. This is as far as you go, beast!
Rockbreaker plunged into the blood-soaked soil, and the earth heaved and tore itself apart. But still, the creature stood, braced securely on its huge legs and tail. The creature's head turned to face them, the flames in its eye sockets flaring and jumping from the sudden movement.
Withdraw, Father, while he's unbalanced!
A bloody balefire leapt out from Harold's sword and splashed against the creature's chest. The flesh blistered and charred where Flare Bright struck, but the creature seemed unharmed. Julia circled round to the creature's left, Rupert to its right. He wasn't sure what good he could do against something that was already dead, especially when all the infernal devices had done was to anger it, but he had to do something.
Over here, you overgrown corpse!
The creature lurched forward, reaching for Julia with a clawed hand.
Yeah!
Wolfsbane gleamed brightly as it sliced clean through the mummified flesh. The creature snatched back its hand. Even in the dim light, Rupert could see that Wolfsbane had laid the hand open to the bone. There was no blood, but the wound was already corrupt and gangrenous. But still the creature stood its ground. It reached for Julia again.
You will not harm her!
King John thrust Rockbreaker into the ground again and left it there. The sword stood upright, glowing fiercely against the dark. Miles below the surface, plates began to shift. Julia ran forward and cut at the creature's legs. A huge clawed hand swept toward her. Rupert managed to get behind the ankle of the creature. He sliced clean through the ankle, and the exposed tendon snapped up into the calf. As the creature's leg collapsed under it, the ground beneath it gaped open. It fell full length into the gaping crevasse, its pale light fading into the maw. The loose earth gave way beneath Rupert's feet like shifting sands. He suddenly found himself sliding into the chasm after the creature.
No!
He saw the canyon rushing toward him and tossed away his sword. He caught hold of an edge and hung on with his one good hand while his legs dangled over the long drop. He didn't dare look down.
Somebody! Somebody help! Oh no!
He felt the edge starting to give. He tried lifting his shattered left arm, but it was useless.
No! No!
I got you, Rupert! Just hold on! No! No!
As King John pulled Rockbreaker out of the ground, the earth grew still again. Rupert picked up his sword, and he and Julia stood up. He looked back toward where the earth had split, knowing how close he'd come to death.
Oh, that is not something I want to...
A huge dead white hand suddenly appeared out of the crevasse and sank its claws deep into the earth. The great wedge-shaped head appeared over the edge of the chasm, its balefire eyes glowing brightly as the creature sought to pull itself out of the pit. Harold lunged forward and thrust Flarebright deep into the creature's neck. Blood-red flames consumed the creature's flesh, and it jerked back its head in agony, pulling the sword out of Harold's grasp. One wild hand reached out from the crevasse and swatted Harold away. Crimson flames roared up about the creature's head, but it wouldn't release its hold on the side of the crevasse. Julia moved forward and plunged Wolfsbane into the creature's throat. The dead white flesh decayed and rotted before her eyes, and Flarebright's flames surged even higher. The creature released its hold. King John gripped Rockbreaker tightly and lowered its tip to touch the ground. The sides of the crevasse started to fall in on themselves. The night was still and quiet again. Flarebright and Wolfsbane were buried deep below the earth.
You let go of the sword. Why?
I didn't like what it was doing to me.
King John looked back at what remained of his army, huddled together at the edge of the moat, behind their barricade of piled-up bodies. Out in the darkness, he could hear the first faint stirrings of the returning demon horde. He stared out into the endless night, and a soft blue glow appeared, deep in the heart of the darkness, followed by another, and another, and another. There were more of those things out there. King John hefted Rockbreaker in his hand, and a sudden temptation ran through him to unleash all the sword's power in one final gesture that would destroy the forest and everything in it. The moment passed, and he shook his head wearily. Perhaps it would come to that, and nothing would remain to him but to avenge the land's destruction. But not yet. He would wait until there was no more hope, and the castle had fallen, and then he would make his decision. The demons were getting closer. The king turned back to his waiting army.
Retreat!
Father?
We retreat! Retreat! There's nothing more we can do here! Stand ready, the gatehouse! Lower the drawbridge!
Tired, broken, and defeated, the survivors of the last army of the forest land streamed across the drawbridge as fast as their wounds and exhaustion would allow. Their banners lay torn and bloodied beneath the bodies of the dead, and there was no hope left in them. Harold and King John stood together by the drawbridge, giving what comfort and encouragement they could to the warriors who shambled past them. They had led the army out to battle, and they would be the last to retreat. It was expected of them. Rupert and Julia stood to one side, their arms around each other, their eyes dull with a bone-deep weariness. The champion stood alone a few yards from the drawbridge, staring out into the dark. His face was calm and cold, and though his armor was caked with blood, his back was still straight and his head unbowed. There was a sudden roaring in the darkness close at hand, and the moat monster crashed out of the shadows, surrounded by leaping, clawing demons. The monster fought savagely, despite his many wounds, but there were just too many demons, even for him. He dragged himself across the broken earth and threw himself into the moat. The ice cracked open under his weight, and he disappeared back into the dark waters. He took a dozen demons with him, and none of them returned to the surface.
They're getting closer! Everybody move!
More demons came pouring out of the darkness, and the few men and women still on the drawbridge panicked and fled into the castle. Harold and the king went after them, carefully not running, followed by Rupert and Julia.
I'll hold them back! Get inside!
The champion stood alone at the edge of the drawbridge, his war axe in his hands. The demon horde came streaming out of the long night, the vile blue moonlight shimmering on their fangs and claws. The champion smiled slightly and waited for them to come to him. The demons threw themselves at him, and he stood them off easily, sweeping his axe in wide killing arcs that tore through flesh and bone alike. The drawbridge was the only way into the castle, and they had to get past the champion first. The demons came boiling up out of the shadows in a never-ending stream, but still the champion stood his ground and would not retreat. Rupert stopped at the inner gates and looked back. The banks of the moat were thick with demons, and a small knot of dark, twisted figures were swarming around the beleaguered champion. He was fighting well and strongly, but it was clearly only a matter of time before the demons would drag him down. Rupert started forward, and Harold was suddenly at his side.
No!
There's no time! Lower the portcullis! Start raising the drawbridge!
No!
Rupert moved out into the keep.
Sir Champion! We're all in! Get back here, dammit! They're raising the drawbridge!
The champion didn't hear him. The demons fell again and again under his axe, and there were always more. It felt good to be fighting, to be proving himself as champion, to be killing those who threatened the realm. The demons came at him without end, and he met them with cold steel and a colder smile. He knew he was going to die, but it didn't matter to him at all. The castle needed him, and that was enough. The huge axe was weightless in his hands, and the demons fell before it like wheat. Demon blood flew on the air, and the drawbridge became slippery with gore. The champion fought on, one man against an army, and the army slowed and was stopped. But in the end, he was only one man, and no man can stand against an army for long. The demons tore at him again and again, ripping through his armor. He never felt the wounds or the blood that streamed down his sides. The castle was under his protection, and he wouldn't turn and run. He would not retreat. The demon surged forward and pulled him down. He never felt the claws that tore out his throat, and he died still trying to swing his axe.
No!
The demons poured over his body and raced across the drawbridge toward the keep.
The portcullis won't close in time. We'll be overrun unless somebody stops them.
He ran through the keep to meet the demons, sword in hand. All he had to do was hold them back for a few minutes, and then the gates would be securely shut. He reached the base of the drawbridge, and the first few demons jumped him. And then he was facing the main body of the demons, and they came to a sudden halt as he blocked their way, hacking about him with his sword.
Shut the gates! Shut the bloody gates! Just a few more minutes.
And then the demons dragged him down, and he fell beneath them, still clinging to his sword. In the courtyard, Harold and a handful of men-at-arms stood ready to slam home the heavy steel bolts once the main windlass had closed the gates. Julia leaned against the inner south wall and stared blearily about her.
Rupert! Where are you, Rupert?
She straightened up when she realized he wasn't with her anymore and glanced quickly around the packed courtyard. She couldn't see him anywhere, and a cold panic seized her heart. Julia pushed herself away from the wall and started toward Harold. He'd know where Rupert was. And then she stopped dead as she glanced between the slowly closing gates and saw Rupert brought down by the demons.
No, Harold! Stop the gates! Rupert is still out there!
He's already dead. He died buying us the time we needed to close those gates. Now either help us with those bolts or get out of the way.
You wanted him to die out there! You wanted him to die!
Julia, put that sword down!
I'm coming, Rupert!
it! Oh.
She charged through the closing doors straight toward the mass of demons. She glanced back to see King John close on her heels, Roughbreaker in his hands. They just had time to share a brief smile, and then they were among the demons. Demons fell easily to Julia's rage, and those she missed or never saw were no match for Roughbreaker. The king was at her side, Roughbreaker cutting a wide swath through the demon kind, but Julia could tell he was at the end of his strength. They forced the demons back to the drawbridge, step by step, and then Julia and the king slammed into a small knot of struggling demons.
I don't see Rupert!
He's here somewhere!
The creatures fell away as Julia and the king pressed forward, and a blood-soaked figure surged to his feet, scattering the demons in all directions. Rupert swayed unsteadily, and one arm hung limply at his side, but he was still holding his sword. He wiped away some of the blood that masked his face and grinned crookedly at Julia.
What kept you?
Julia moved in beside him, and they stood back to back.
Now get behind me! They wouldn't dare shut the gates with me out here!
I wouldn't be so sure! Go! With Harold in there!
She's right, you know!
The demons came at them never-endingly as Rupert and Julia and the king retreated through the keep a step at a time. Blood splashed against the stone walls and streamed along the ground. Julia didn't look back at the castle gates. She would either make it or she would die. There are worse ways to die than fighting to save the one you love. The thought came to her suddenly, and she realized she was grinning crazily, even as tears ran down her cheeks. Balefire blazed suddenly against the darkness, and lightning shot through the air.
I'll hold them back! Run!
Rupert looked back at the gates, and saw a brightly glowing figure standing alone in the narrow gap between the two motionless doors. The glare was so blinding, Rupert had to look away, but he knew who it was. He could feel the high magic all around him, beating strongly on the night. Julia took him by his good arm and began hurrying him back toward the gates.
What about the champion?
He's dead, lad. The demons didn't leave enough of him to bury.
Together, Julia and the king half led and half carried Rupert back to the open gates, while the glowing figure's balefire threw back the demon horde again and again. A grimy smoke rose from the growing pile of demon dead that lay blocking the entrance to the keep. Julia and the king hustled Rupert through the gates and into the courtyard.
We're in!
Close the doors! Close the doors!
Warlock!
The glowing figure's light died away to reveal the high warlock collapsed on the stone floor. His face was drawn with fatigue, and his hair was entirely gray.
We're alive. Oh.
Rupert? Oh, Rupert, stay with me.
Rupert lay stretched out on his back, blood welling steadily out from beneath him. Julia cradled his head in her lap, ignoring her own deep wounds. King John sat with his back to the inner wall, his head hanging wearily down. Roughbreaker lay unnoticed by his side.
We made it, Rupert. Just hold on.
Julia.
Yes, my love. It's me. I'm right here. Just hold on to my hand.
What's that noise?
Those are the demons. But they're outside, Rupert. They can't get in. We're safe now.
Safe? For now.
Rupert. Rupert, stay with me. Rupert! Rupert. Rupert, wake up. Please, wake up.
Huh? What?
Rupert! Oh, God, I thought I'd lost you.
Rupert woke up. He knew he was in the courtyard. He could feel rough stone cobbles pressing into his back, but everything else seemed vague and far away. He didn't seem to hurt much anymore, and for a moment that worried him, but only for a moment. There was blood on his face and in his eyes, and when he tried to wipe it away, his hands wouldn't obey him.
How are you feeling?
Oh, awful.
Well, at least you feel something, right?
Right.
The courtyard was a slaughterhouse, with the dead and the dying and the wounded lying side by side. Some of the army survivors just lay where they had fallen, too tired or too shocked by what they'd been through to move, even for food or water or help for their injuries. A few servants moved among the wounded, helping where they could, and women and children guarded the castle battlements with improvised weapons. High above the courtyard, the blue moon stared pitilessly down from the starless night. King John stood up and looked around.
Rockbreaker. Flare bright. Wolf's Bane. For all your legendary power, you are all no match for the Darkwood. Now, two of you are gone, and we've nothing left. It's over. The Forest Kingdom has fallen. I'm the king of nothing!
Hello, Father. Glad to see you're safe.
I appreciate the words, Harold, but I'm not sure if it matters anymore.
The two of them turned to look at Rupert and Julia.
How is he?
He looks bad.
Julia was trying to remove Rupert's mail vest so that she could get at his wounds, but the buckles were slippery with blood, and she was so tired she couldn't even see straight anymore. She struggled stubbornly with the buckles, cursing her clumsy fingers. There was so much blood she couldn't tell one wound from another. She started to wipe the blood from his face with a piece of rag, only to stop suddenly when she discovered he didn't have a right eye anymore.
Oh, no.
Julia looked up and locked eyes with Harold.
You left him out there to die, you bastard!
Julia, if the demons had got past him, we'd never have been able to close the doors in time. By holding the demons back, even if only for a few minutes, Rupert helped to save the lives of everyone in this castle. He knew he didn't stand a chance when he went out into the keep, but he also knew his duty. My duty was to get the gates closed so that his sacrifice wouldn't have been in vain. I did what was right, Julia. I did what was necessary.
You always do, Harold.
The king walked to Julia and knelt painfully beside her.
He's a hero, Julia.
About damn time, Father.
Son, you're awake?
That's what they tell me.
There must be something we can do. We've got to do something. He's dying.
Yes, I think he is. It was a brave stand while it lasted. The bravest thing I've ever seen.
I'm feeling cold.
Let me through.
Warlock, you've got to help him. You're a sorcerer. Help him.
I can, lass.
Julia realized with something of a shock that the warlock was an old man. The hair that had been jet black was now a dirty gray streaked with white, and his face had sunk back to the bone, the flesh heavily lined and wrinkled. His hands were gnarled and twisted, and they trembled constantly as he held them over Rupert's bloodied chest.
Yes. I see. I know.
A brilliant light flared briefly at the warlock's fingertips, and Rupert's wounds knit gradually together. The bleeding slowed and stopped, and the bones shifted back into position.
I thank you.
Rupert? Rupert, wake up!
Julia, look at me.
Julia felt a warm glow move swiftly through her body, and then it vanished, taking her pains with it. Only her tiredness remained. That and the bone-deep despair that tore at her heart every time she remembered how close she'd come to losing Rupert.
Is that it? Will he be all right?
I don't know, Julia. There's not much magic left in me now. But I've done all I can for him.
Warlock! What happened to your magic during the battle?
We were betrayed. Just before the gates opened, a servant appeared with several jugs of wine and presented them to us with, he said, your compliments. We were all very touched at the gesture, so we drank you a toast. Several toasts, in fact. There was enough poison in that wine to kill an army. My magic was strong enough to throw off the effects eventually, but the others never stood a chance. They started to fall just after the gates opened, choking and clawing at their throats. I held on as long as I could, and then the poison overtook me. When I finally recovered consciousness, I was surrounded by bodies, and the battle was over. I did my best for you, John, for as long as I could. I only wish it could have been more.
Thomas Gray, he was with you?
He was lucky. He didn't care for the vintage, so he drank only a little. He and I were the only survivors. Just the two of us. Out of more than 50.
Who did this? Who stabbed us in the back? I thought all the traitors were dead.
The servant who brought us the wine is dead. Somebody used him, and then killed him so he couldn't tell us who it was.
Julia.
I'm here, Rupert.
She put an arm around his shoulders to support him, and he shook his head slowly to clear it.
How do you feel, son?
Bloody terrible. But I'll survive.
Of course, you always do.
My eye hurts.
He then froze as his fingers found only sealed eyelids where his right eye used to be.
My eye? What's happened to my eye?
Easy, lad.
It's gone. Warlock?
I'm sorry, Rupert. There's nothing more I can do.
Rupert tried to fight back his panic. He felt maimed, crippled, even more than if he'd lost an arm or a leg. The world looked strange and different seen through his one eye. It looked flat and somehow unreal, and he couldn't seem to judge distances properly. He remembered an old guard with one eye who'd once told him something about depth perception and how it had stopped him from being a swordsman, and the panic surged up in him again.
How the hell am I going to use a sword with only one eye to guide me?
I wouldn't worry about it too much. There are so many demons, all you have to do is keep swinging and you're bound to hit one sooner or later.
You bastard, Harold. Trust you to put things in perspective.
At least one of us still has perspective. Now, if you'll excuse me, I want to make sure the battlements are secure.
He bowed politely and moved off into the courtyard. Julia watched him go and shook her head.
There are times when I don't understand that man at all.
You're not alone.
Your Majesty, you look exhausted. How did your part of the battle go? Are you hurt?
Oh, just cuts and bruises, my dear. And there's not much to tell about the battle. I led my men out, and I brought some of them back. For a time, I almost felt like a king again.
He looked unflinchingly at the bodies lying heaped together on the blood-stained cobbles and shook his head.
It wasn't worth the price.
You went back with me to help save your son. I've never seen anything braver.
Bravery isn't enough anymore. Look around you, Julia. My army is broken, the castle's under siege, and I haven't even got enough men left to guard the battlements. 12 generations of my family built the Forest Kingdom and kept it strong. It took only one generation to see it all destroyed. One incompetent king!
It wasn't your fault.
Wasn't it? The king is the land and the land is the king. I failed as king and now the land is paying the price.
Bull, you're a man like any other and you did the best you could with an impossible situation. You mustn't blame yourself. The Darkwood doesn't care how brave or strong you are. It's part of nature, like an earthquake or a storm. You can't hope to beat it with swords and axes and armies.
So what should I do? Give in?
No. We go on fighting, but in a different way. We've tried armies and we've tried magic, and they've both failed us. Now there's only one way left. Think. What's the real heart of the Darkwood? What gives it life and purpose? The Demon Prince. Destroy him, and you destroy the Darkwood.
I don't believe I'm hearing this. It's all we can do to hold the castle against the demons, and you expect us to go traipsing off into the Darkwood in search of the Demon Prince himself? We wouldn't last 5 minutes out there.
We've got to try. It's our only hope now.
Wait a minute. I hate to suggest it, but how about another teleport spell? If he got it right, the warlock could take us right to the Demon Prince.
No. I don't have enough magic left to power that kind of spell.
The dragon! He could fly us over the Darkwood.
You've got a dragon? Here?
Sure. He's sleeping in the stables.
Nobody tells me anything.
The last time I tried to wake him, I couldn't. Maybe you can, Sir Warlock.
It's worth a try. But I'll need to rest first.
Very well. I suggest we all get whatever rest we can. We'll meet again in an hour's time. Unless, of course, the demons get here first.
The night wore on, and an hour's time found the warlock making his way down a corridor, bottle in hand.
Gone. All gone. John. You can see I'm not drinking.
That's because you finished your bottle.
Yes, well, maybe this is a good time to give up drinking wine.
That's true. The demons could come swarming over the walls any time. We all need to be ready for them.
Yes. No more wine. Brandy I could go for.
You look terrible.
Thank you, John.
Your hair's gone gray.
Again, it never gets any easier.
I'd imagine not. You're losing your magic, aren't you?
Looks like it. I've cast more spells in the last 24 hours than I'd normally cast in a year. And fighting off that poison took a hell of a lot out of me. Just a few hours ago, I could conjure anything I wanted from my tower just by thinking about it. But now, every spell ages me a little more. Anything I do, I've got to be sure it's worth doing. I can feel the winter in my bones, and I'm starting to forget things. I hate it when I can't remember things.
I feel the same way sometimes. But in a way, it's kind of a blessing. After all, we both have things we'd rather not remember.
Julia had unstrapped the long silver scabbard from her back and was now studying it thoughtfully. It looked different now that it no longer contained the infernal device. The silver itself seemed dull and lusterless, and the ancient runes set deep in the metal held no meaning at all.
Glad to be rid of the damn thing anyway.
Julia leaned back against the inner east wall and closed her eyes. It felt almost sinful to be resting when everyone else was racing crazily around the courtyard. But until the warlock decided he was ready, there was nothing for her to do. So she sat down, leaned back against the wall, stretched out her legs, and had a little rest. She let one hand drop to the sword at her side and smiled slightly. Rupert had given her that sword a long time ago, or so it seemed, and it had done good service by her, which was more than she could say for Wolfsbane. She'd never been happy with that sword in her hand. She could have hung on to it rather than letting it vanish into the earth along with the creature it was killing, but she'd chosen to let it go and still felt she'd done the right thing. Wolfsbane was more than just a sword, much more. It was alive and it was aware, and it had wanted her mind and her soul. And Julia knew that if she had used the sword long enough, it would have had them both. At the end, she'd given up the sword because she'd wanted so much to keep it.
Oh, just leave me alone, Harold.
I see you've got rid of the scabbard. Probably a wise move. According to some legends, the infernal devices can never be destroyed. And if they're ever lost or thrown away, they will eventually find their way back to their scabbards.
You believe that hogwash?
I've seen a great many things recently that once I would never have believed possible. That's why I threw away my scabbard.
Julia looked at him. The scabbard was gone from Harold's back, and it seemed to Julia that he stood a little taller without it. Their eyes met for a moment, sharing a knowledge they would never tell anyone else, of how close they had come to being seduced and overpowered by the swords they'd carried. After a while, they looked away, perhaps because they didn't want to be reminded. They just wanted to forget.
Do you think the warlock will be able to wake the dragon?
I don't know. The dragon's been hibernating for months. Rupert thinks he may be dying.
Well, Rupert has been known to be wrong on occasion.
So have you. Oh, shutting those gates on him.
Oh, not again, Julia. It was necessary. Somebody had to defend the keep so that the gates could be shut.
Then why didn't you do it?
I never was the heroic type.
So I've noticed. I'm going to go find Rupert.
Rupert leaned back against the outside of the locked stable door and waited impatiently for the others to join him. It was still bitter cold in the courtyard, and he was beginning to wish he'd gone into the castle proper and found himself a good thick cloak. He looked hopefully round the bustling courtyard, but there was still no sign of any of the others.
Always cold these days. Don't even know why I bother being on time. Nobody else ever is. Might as well see how bad I am now.
He put himself through a series of simple exercises, but the numbing cold made him awkward, and his lack of depth perception kept throwing him off. He gently ran his fingers over his sealed eyelid and winced. His eye was gone, but it still hurt.
Oh, damn. Like it or not, Rupert, your days as a swordsman are over. At least the warlock fixed my arm. Twice.
He frowned, remembering the way the unicorn had looked, lying sleeping in the stable. The groom had dosed the animal with a sleeping draught. He had assured Rupert the unicorn would recover from his wounds eventually, but that was more hope than conviction. But Rupert knew that long before the unicorn could wake from his drugged sleep, the final battle would be over, one way or another. Rupert looked out across the crowded courtyard and smiled as he spotted a familiar goblin hurrying past, carrying a bucket of steaming pitch almost as big as he was.
Hey! Over here!
Who's there?
It's me, Rupert!
Princey, how you doing?
Oh, not so bad, considering. I just wondered if you knew how your friends got on in the battle. I got separated from the main bulk of the army early on, and I'd rather lost track of things.
Oh, they all died. Every single one of them. They did their best, but goblins weren't made for fighting or being brave.
Oh. I'm sorry, I didn't know.
Our leader died with them. He insisted on leading his men into battle. He was never really happy as leader, but he was all we had. He tried hard. Poor bastard. He never really got over the death of his family in the first demon raid.
So who's leader now?
Oh, me, of course. Who else? I may not know much about fighting and heroics, but I'm a dab hand when it comes to dirty tricks and booby traps. Now then, if you'll excuse me, I'd better get that bucket up to the battlements before the pitch cools off. It ain't boiling oil, but after all, what is? It'll do. Wait till those demons try climbing up the outer walls. They won't know what's hit them. Goodbye, Prince Rupert!
He grabbed up his bucket and scurried back into the crowd. Rupert watched him go, while in his mind's eye, he saw again the goblin's former leader. The biggest goblin he'd ever known, hunched inside ill-fitting bronze armor and growling sarcastically around an evil-looking cigar. That leader had once asked Rupert if he could teach the goblins how to forget, because they'd never learned how, and there was so much they wanted to forget.
Rupert?
Hmm? Julia? Warlock?
The two came walking out of the crowd toward him.
I've got something for you. Here.
What's this? Another favor, Julia? I still have the other
one. No, silly. It's an eye patch. Try it on.
Hmm. All right.
After a few false starts, Rupert pulled the strap over his head and eased the patch into position. He glanced self-consciously at Julia.
Well, how does it look?
You look very rakish. Just like the pirates in my storybooks when I was a girl.
Great. Thanks a bunch.
I always wanted to be one of those adventurers. Now at least I know one.
Rupert glared at the warlock, daring him to say anything, and the warlock turned quickly away to study the stables. He gazed skeptically at the rambling, broken-down building and looked distinctly unimpressed.
Are you sure you've got a dragon in there?
He chose the stable, and I, for one, wasn't going to argue the point.
Quite. How did you persuade him to come here in the first place?
Oh, I rescued him from a princess.
Huh.
Please say no more. I don't think I really want to know.
I've got the key.
Darkness filled the old timbered building, though bare slivers of light showed through the boarded-up windows. The empty stalls were full of shadows, and the low thatched ceiling showed dimly through the gloom. Rupert moved slowly forward into the stable, followed by Julia and the High Warlock.
Julia, hand me that torch, will you?
The sudden flame pushed back the darkness, and the stable leaped into being before them. They found the dragon at the rear of the stable, curled up in a nest of dirty straw. His great folded wings rose and fell in time to his breathing. Rupert stared silently at the sleeping dragon and felt a hot flush of shame run through him. The dragon had been hurt in the Darkwood because of him. Hurt so badly that the creature was still sleeping off his wounds months later. Hurt and maybe dying. And now here he was again, hoping to wake the dragon so that he could ask him to risk his life in the Darkwood one more time. Rupert felt tired and guilty and not a little ashamed, but he was still going to do it. The dragon was the only chance the forest land had left.
How long has he been sleeping like this?
2-3 months. He never really got over the beating he took on our first journey through the Darkwood. Once we got here, he took to sleeping most of the time, until finally we couldn't wake him at all.
Odd.
What?
Well, dragons don't usually take long to heal. Either a wound kills them or it doesn't. Let me see something.
He moved in close beside the dragon and passed his hand slowly over the creature's head.
Aha!
Aha, what? You just made him glow where you touched him.
I didn't do that, Julia. I just made it visible. He's been under this spell for months.
A spell? You mean this sleep isn't natural? Somebody's deliberately been keeping him like this?
I'm afraid so. And whoever cast this spell must still be around. Somewhere. Or it would have collapsed by now.
I can't believe it! Another damn traitor? There can't be. The only ones with a grudge against King John were Darius and his conspirators. And they're all either dead or in exile. Who else is there that could be a traitor?
No use looking at me. I'm rather out of touch with forest politics.
Whoever it is must be after the crown. Nothing else would be worth taking this kind of risk for. So we're looking for someone who wants to be king, or who just can't wait to be king.
No, it can't be.
Why not?
Because... He just wouldn't, that's why not. He turned against the conspirators who would have made him king.
From what I can gather, if he had gone along with them, he'd have ended up as nothing more than a figurehead for the barons.
Perhaps I'm being a little slow, but who are you talking about?
Harold. My brother, Prince Harold. He always was ambitious.
Harold. I remember him as a boy. Big, healthy lad, very fond of hunting. I was his tutor for a while, but I don't recall him ever showing much aptitude for magic.
Well, there you are. Our traitor has to be a pretty powerful magician.
Not necessarily. They never did find the Cortana.
The Sword of Compulsion. Of course. That was what the king intended to use against the demons in the first place.
Exactly. Only it went missing during the conspiracy. The Landsgrave swore they'd never had it, and I'm inclined to believe them. I've seen the wards that protected the infernal devices, and they were specifically keyed to the royal line. Anyone not of the royal line trying to take the swords would have been killed instantly. It seems only logical that the Cortana would have been protected in the same way.
So, if those wards were working, whoever took the sword had to be a member of the royal family.
Yes. My father, Harold, or myself. Now, I was away when the sword disappeared, and it doesn't make sense for the king to have taken it. So that only leaves Harold.
Wait, that doesn't make sense either. If he had the Cortana, he would have used it by now. He certainly wouldn't have gone out to face the demons without it.
Maybe there's just some reason why he can't use the sword yet. Look, it has to be Harold. There's nobody else it can be.
No, I don't believe it.
You mean you don't want to believe it? From what I've heard, you and Harold got pretty close while I was away.
And just what is that supposed to mean?
You know damn well what I mean.
Don't you shout at me!
I'm not shouting!
Shut up! Worse than children, the pair of you. Now, is it too much to ask? Or could we please concentrate on the matter at hand? Namely, this sleeping dragon.
Sorry.
Rupert?
Sorry.
The two of them traded apologetic glances and smiles as the warlock turned away to study the sleeping dragon. He stood glowering a moment and then stretched out his arms before him.
Maybe. Odd.
Odd? What's odd?
Shh.
Sorry.
Perhaps. Damn it. One more. Oh, come on!
The High Warlock gritted his teeth and raised his arms above his head in the stance of summoning.
Whoever cast this was very powerful indeed.
A vivid crackling flame suddenly danced, unsupported, on the air before the Warlock. It sank slowly toward the sleeping dragon.
Om Kara Yilab Tun Han Om.
His face was beaded with sweat, and his hands shook, but still the flame hovered in midair, unable to move any closer to the sleeping dragon.
Om Kara Yilab Tun Han Om.
The crimson flame sank slowly down and into the dragon's gleaming scales. The air in the stable felt suddenly different, as though a barely felt tension had just snapped and disappeared. The dragon stirred fretfully, and then his great golden eyes crept open, and he lifted his massive head up out of the dirty straw.
Dragon! Dragon, you're back! Oh!
Julia. What's wrong, Julia?
Nothing. Nothing's wrong now that you're back. Ugh.
The dragon looked at Rupert and his eyes widened slightly.
Rupert, you're back? How long have I slept?
2 or 3 months. Welcome back, dragon. It's good to see you again.
Same to you, Rupert. Julie and I were getting rather worried about you. Did you say months?
That's right. The Darkwood has fallen over the castle. The demon horde is battering at our gates, and any moment now they could all come swarming over our walls and slaughter the lot of us.
Oh, nothing changes.
The High Warlock studied the hundreds of gleaming teeth and was visibly impressed.
I don't suppose you brought me anything to eat, did you?
Dragon!
I know we're all in imminent danger of being killed, but I've been asleep for months. And right now, I'm hungry. Very hungry. Several roast chickens for starters, I think. And then maybe a cow or two, or three.
Dragon, we need you to fly us over the Darkwood in search of the Demon Prince. Will you do it?
Of course. Right after a good meal.
This is why dragons never caught on as pets.
Don't call me a pet, and I won't call you an appetizer. Now, please, excuse me. Rupert, I'll be back after breakfast.
With that, the dragon rose and stalked out of the stable in search of something large enough to satisfy a 3-month hunger.